Have you ever knocked on a door as a visitor, maybe not too well known to the people inside, and wondered how you'd be received? This summer, Yvonne and I visited some distant relatives over in Devonshire, England. Some of these people I hadn't met before. I only knew of them through my mother because they were her cousins. One family that we visited one afternoon had a sheep farm with over 800 sheep. I grew up on a farm with about 35 milking cows. 800 sheep, that just boggles my mind. After a couple of eight enjoyable hours, we rose to continue on to our final stop for the day, but our host insisted that we stay for, this is England, tea, which is not just a hot drink, but a few delicious desserts as well. The only problem was it made us late for our next visit, where our other cousins had a full supper already laid out for us. Oh, happy problem of too much welcome. Are we ready to receive a special visitor tonight? I'm not talking about alive animals, unusual as that is. John writes that Christmas is about God Himself coming to visit. But some people didn't want to let Him in. Why would that be? Did they not understand what this was all about? How special this occasion is? We're not expecting someone and there's a knock at the door. First thing we do is go and have a peek, see who it is. If you're in an apartment, maybe you have one of those little peepholes in the door. Otherwise, maybe you have a window beside or near your door where you can look out and try and figure out if you know the person or if they're a stranger. John, the Gospel writer, helps us peek through the peephole, as it were, to understand just who this special arrival at Christmas time is. Verse 2 tells us He was with God in the beginning. So this baby is eternal. From before time began, before time ever was, He was always with God. Verse 1 describes Him without a name other than the Word. The Word. God's talking to us in a special way through Jesus, communicating, giving us a message we need to hear. Verse 18 says, Jesus has made God known or explained Him. Jesus is God's way of making sense to us. Verse 3 shows this special baby is the creator of all that is. Through Him all things were made. Also verse 10, the world was made through Him. Are you starting to get a clear picture of who this is standing at the door? Wow. Verse 4 says, in Him was life. That's the opposite of death. We want life. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us strength to keep on going, and a path to walk that makes life meaningful, even in our worst mess. It also says that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the darkness. We know there's a lot of evil in the world. Some coming from our own badness. Other evil from outside us, like a deer dash out onto the road in front of you, or you get seriously sick. Verse 9 says that in Jesus, the true light that gives light to every man is coming into the world. Our visitor then is pure light, no darkness at all in Him. Verse 12 reveals something really special. This visitor gives those who receive Him an amazing privilege, the right to become children of God. Children born of God. That implies that fallen sinners that we are by nature, we can't be children of God unless we receive Him. More on that in a little bit. And the last verse, verse 14, describes the visitor as one in whom we see glory, beauty, brilliance. Not of this order, nor of angels, nor any creature, but glory of the one and only who came from the Father. In other words, God's glory. The rest of the verse unfolds as further as full of grace and truth. These are key qualities of God as shown in the Old Testament. God's steadfast love or His grace and His faithfulness or His truth, His trustworthiness. The law came through Moses, John points out, verse 17. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, are you getting a good look at the visitor through that peephole? Do you recognize him? Could you describe him to someone else? Eternal, creator, life, light, helping us become God's children. Full of glory, grace, and truth. How great Jesus appears when we see him as he is. He is, after all, God's Word, the Heavenly Father's self-communication or making known. In Jesus, we see who God is truly. This Word did a better job of communicating than a certain church who needed a sign. The pastor of this church in this small town was ordering a sign for their outdoor manger scene, and the company making it needed to know the dimensions and wording of the sign, but the pastor wasn't sure. But time was of the essence, so the company suggested the pastor send the information to them by way of telegram as soon as he could. The next day, a Western Union employee was shocked to see this message come across the wire. For unto us a child is born, 8 feet long, 3 feet wide. Glad little Aiden wasn't those dimensions. So glad Jesus, as the Word made flesh, did a much better job of getting the real message across of what God wanted to communicate. So, the visitor's standing at the door. Well, are you going to let him in or just let him stand there, kind of keep him shut out? What do we do with Jesus? We had to make sure there are pretty secure gates for the sheep and the goats here, because you see they get their paws up on them, but... Do we gate Jesus off? Do we want nothing to do with him in our space? Is he just a cute baby to look at for a short time and then go home and forget about? He says to us in the last book of the Bible, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, he with me." Do we hunger for that kind of relationship spiritually, or do we not care? John points out a very peculiar thing in verse 10. Though the world in general was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How could creatures not see and know their creator? Political leaders looked for power, being boss, not loving service. Religious leaders trusted in their own works. But with the law, they didn't think they needed a savior. Their works could buy them righteousness with God, they thought. Common people lost interest and realized Jesus wasn't going to be a king that would give them whatever they want, keep them fed, and rise up against the hated Roman overlords. Looking for other things, they couldn't see him for who he was. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, the Jews with whom he should have been absolutely at home, but they did not receive him. They crucified him instead with a sign over his head mocking him, King of the Jews. That's what we think of you. How did Jesus respond to such rejection from his own people? He actually wept over Jerusalem, saying, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. They'll not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He compared them to tenants in a vineyard who killed the owner's son, supposing that by doing away with the heir, they could seize it for themselves. But rejecting Jesus, God's one and only, is serious business. He warned, "Everyone who falls on that stone," meaning himself, "will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." Seriously, if God sent his own son as a rescuer and we shun him, what do we deserve? John in chapter 3 writes, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world." That's the visitor. "But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." That's our basic problem as sinners. We love darkness. We're ashamed God's holy light might show up how much we've blown it. John adds, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. To reject Jesus is to reject God's message sent to save us. And it's very nice and pretty to see the sheep and the goats up here, but if you know your Bible, you'll know in Matthew 25 it talks about another time when he comes and he puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And that's not such a pretty picture, because the sheep go off into eternal life, but the goats, who have not recognized Jesus, have not welcomed him in. He said, you did not see me as a stranger and invite me in when you saw me. You go off into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's a scary prospect. That's why verse 12 is such a welcome contrast. It says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, opened the door and invited him in, as it were, he gave the right to become children of God, children born of God. Later in chapter 3, Jesus tried to explain to a puzzled Nicodemus how a person must be born over again, born of water and the Spirit, not just born in a fleshly fashion. We need not be stuck in the darkness. The evil habits of our old self, those ones you try and break and say, oh, make a New Year's resolution, but it just doesn't hold. Jesus himself said, I come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. His blood poured out at the cross, he breaks the power of sin and sets us free from its penalty. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him later in chapter 1, he said to his own disciples, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus comes to us so he can take away all our badness, making us fit to be with God. That's why through the centuries the Jewish people took the lambs and the bulls and the doves and they sacrificed them, because God had given them that as a symbol, a foreshadowing, pointers to what was actually going to happen on the cross. It's the pure, spotless Son of God given for us to take away our sin. Ancient Greek poetry tells of a warrior, the hero of Troy, dressed in all his military armor, stretching out his arms to embrace his little son before going into battle. However, his child was frightened as he looked at the helmet and the full military dress, and instead of falling into his father's arms, he screamed in terror. However, under all the battle array was hidden a heart of fatherly love. The warrior threw off his armor, gathered his little boy in his arms, and held him tightly against his chest, where he could hear the beating of his father's heart as if saying, I love you, I love you. That's how God revealed himself at Bethlehem. God sent Jesus to come the first time into the world, not to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Do you recognize and receive the visitor that we see here at the stable? At Christmas, God is not instilling fear, but attracting us, drawing us to himself with the beauty of his grace, glory, and love. Let's pray.